play the background. I could play the background. Cause I know sometimes I get in the way.
Hey everybody, you're listening to Driven with Virgil Walker. And man, I'm excited to have another episode with you. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the weekend, enjoyed the time with family, with friends. I hope that that you enjoyed a time of worship as well. And man, I had an incredible weekend. I got a chance to do a wedding, got a chance to see some friends during pageant, got a chance to just do a number of different things, man. It was just a great, great time. I'm headed to work, and I wanted to just kind of mention to you just some random thoughts that I had based upon the weekend and kind of some of the things that are going on in our culture. One of the things that I'm wanting to do with this is create dialogue, and it's been doing that. This process has been great. Many of you have been sharing this with friends, with family, and then creating dialogue on your page and social media, tagging me in, and let me know kind of what's going on. And so all that's good. The other thing is a lot of folks have begun asking me questions. A lot of the folks that are in my circle, and by that I just mean folks I run into church with every day, folks that I interact with and engage on a regular basis, are more comfortable asking me questions, more curious about things. And so I want to talk a little bit about that, a little bit about what that looks like, and then answer some questions. I've been getting a number of different questions from people. You know, how are you handling this? Are people coming at you? What are they saying to you? And you know, the like. And so I want you to know, as I've said in previous posts, I enjoy the respectful back and forth. I enjoy talking to people about subjects of race, about subjects around theology, around apologetics, around a defense of the faith, abortion, social issues, you name it. So I enjoy those kinds of conversations and look forward to a chance to engage people when that happens. It's a lot of fun for me. I don't find it problematic at all. And so as long as it's respectful dialogue, as long as we can disagree. One of the things that's frustrating as a part of that process is when people are not intellectually honest. When they're not intellectually honest and their whole goal is to win an argument. And so I want to talk a little bit about that and again, answer some questions. First of all, the win an argument piece. As believers, man, we've got to follow a 1 Peter 3:15-16 model where we honor Christ as Lord above all, and that He becomes the foundation, the every aspect of our apologetic. Apologetics simply means a defense of the faith. We get it from the Greek word apologia, which means a defense to, and it comes from that verse of scripture where it tells us, Peter instructs us to always be prepared to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the hope that you have in Christ, but do so with graciousness, with kindness and respect of others. And so we definitely want to do that. We definitely want to always be prepared. I think that as believers, we also have to be prepared and equipped with a biblical worldview. And unfortunately, there's a Barna study that was done that looked at how many believers actually held a biblical worldview. Those who consider themselves Bible-believing, born again, you can look at Barna. I think it's barna.org. Look up the study. You can Google Christian worldview, Barna, and you'll pull up the study. And what it'll reflect is that only 9% of Christians actually have or hold a biblical worldview. And so when you look at that and you think about, wow, so you got all these believers who claim to know Christ, and if they don't hold a biblical worldview, what view are they holding? And my line of argumentation is that most of us hold a secular worldview or humanistic worldview. Some of us even hold as agnostic points of view with regard to, well, I don't know if God really exists, and if He did, or we hold a postmodern worldview where truth is relative, and you know, your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth, and those two truths contradict, but we still hold that they can both be equally valid, and that's false. You know, it's important, and one of the reasons why I wanted to do this was because I do believe it's important for Christians, especially, to hold a biblical worldview and to have a biblical lens by which to examine the culture, and not only examine it but begin to impact it. I think we've done a lot in the way of examination, a lot in the way of complaining about what's happening in the culture, and not enough from a standpoint of transforming the culture with an idea that works, or with ideas or solutions that work. And so I think it's really important that we do that, and that we come with a biblical worldview. So again, that's one of the reasons for this. Questions. People have asked me a number of questions. I'm driving, so I can't. I probably should have written them down. Man, it's dark when I do that. Okay, let's go back to some light. It's just a gloomy day. So, the questions. One of the questions that I had posed to me was, you know, what are you getting from this? Are you trying to appeal to white culture? Are you trying to appeal to, you know, your white friends or your white base by making the claims that you do about racism? And so that's a legitimate question that's been asked. And my answer to that is I really could care less. I don't care about what people feel about what I'm sharing. If you're upset based upon truth, that's your problem. I love Ben Shapiro, who says facts don't care about your feelings, and I truly don't care if the facts hurt your feelings. I think we live in a society that is so emotionally driven, emotionally based, feelings based, where we elevate feeling above fact, where we elevate emotion above evidence, that we ignore the evidence because it makes us feel a certain way emotionally. We ignore the facts because we don't like the way they make us feel, and we can't do that. We just can't do that. So I really don't care what someone thinks, that whether I'm trying to appeal to a white culture or I'm trying to appeal to black culture. That's irrelevant to me. I think what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to assess the message of the culture and examine it again, like I said, against the backdrop of scripture, to come up with solutions. I think anybody can look at our culture and identify problems. I think it takes an extra measure of biblical acumen to provide prescription for what to do differently, what we need to do to make the changes, to see the changes. And my answer in most instances, I mean, and near about all instances, is to bring the gospel into conflict with that issue. I think we don't do that enough. I think we always believe that we need to do something else, something different, something, well, we need more than, and when the reality is that the message of the gospel and what the gospel should create in us as people, the gospel should cause us to want to go out and do. Scripture is clear that faith without works is dead. And so not that works justifies you, but that works are the evidence of the fact that you indeed have a saving faith. And as a result of that, we should have works that help us interact with the poor. We should have works that help us interact with those who've been done unjustly. We should have works that help us to do things to see our culture change. And so that's the gospel impact. We should be bringing the gospel into conflict with the issues of the day. And so with that said, that's just one of a number of different questions that I often get asked about. You know, why are you doing this? What do you hope to accomplish? What I hope to accomplish is that for right now, the people that I engage, the people that are in my sphere of influence, my hope is that they would be equipped to know how to respond in a gospel-centered way to the issues that they run into. These are the conversations. My hope is to address the conversations that people are having at home, at school, in their private conversations, with family, in the conversations that they have with those they trust at work, and that they would be equipped as a result of taking the time to listen with how to respond. I post these videos so that you can also have a chance to take a look at how I engage people who don't agree, because there will be people who don't agree, and I think we need to deal with them again from a 1 Peter 3:15 model, engage them in a proper way. So again, my time is up. I'm here at work and about ready to get things started, and man, looking forward to what the day has in store. Man, let me quick prayer for us all as we start our day at work, and wish nothing but the best for you. Father God, I pray for those who are listening and watching. My prayer is that you bless them in their way, that you bless them in their day, that they are more equipped for having thought through an issue of the day through the lens of your word, and that they'll be forever changed as a result. That we would indeed proclaim the gospel, Matthew 28, 18 and 19, that you've told us that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you, and that we are to go, therefore, and preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that you've commanded. My prayer is that we would do that. We would indeed be the light of the gospel, the salt of the earth that you've commanded us to be. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Y'all be blessed. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.